I'd like to read firstly in Psalm 46, that's page 718. Psalm 46, to the chief musician of the sons of Korah on Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a help in distresses, very readily found. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the heart of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and foam, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof make glad the city of God, the sanctuary of the habitations of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her at the dawn of the morning. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our high fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of Jehovah, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He hath made wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our high fortress, Selah. And just one other passage in 1 John 4. The first epistle of John, chapter 4. That's page 1482. 1482. The first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 15. 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and have believed the love which God has to us. God is love, and he that abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Herein has love been perfected with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, that even as he is, we also are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has torment, and he that fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he has first loved us. You'll notice that in both of these passages I read, there is the word fear. We read this passage in Psalm 46 fairly recently in our weeknight Bible study. So some of us have looked at this recently. But I wanted to focus on verse 2. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed. There are many, many people today affected by fear. There are many people today affected by fear of many, many things. Fear of the virus. Fear of all kinds of oppression. Fear is a weapon of the enemy. Fear is a weapon of Satan. The whole subject of fear goes through the Bible, and God's people are told to fear not. Whenever angels appeared to God's people, they very often said, fear not, because meeting an angel is such a tremendous thing. But God's people are not to fear. The gospel goes out so that you may not have fear. But there is a true and right fear that we should have, and that is a fear of God. A fear of a holy and righteous God who hates sin, and who one day we will all have to meet, every single one of us. God, in the Matthew's Gospel, Jesus talks about, fear not those who kill the body, but fear him who has authority to cast body and soul into hell. Fear is a very, very real thing. I've spoken about it fairly recently, but it just struck me again how much it has affected the world in which we are. the fear of the virus and fear of many, many other things. The gospel is preached so that you might be ready to meet a holy God, a holy and perfect God. He is the God that we should rightfully fear in a right and holy way, a God that we fear to meet in our sins, a God that we need to be ready to meet, a God that has seen and known and knows everything that we have done. I heard it said recently that if we rightly fear God, we will not need to fear anything else. I feel very challenged by that. If our fear of God is right, then that will put right everything else. In this passage, it says, we will not fear though the earth be removed. That's a very extreme statement, isn't it? Though even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the heart of the seas. The only cure to fear, to this kind of fear, is to know the God that is being described in this psalm. This is the God who speaks to us in the psalm. Think of the majesty of this God, the God who announces to us the gospel once more, and who can give us deliverance from fear. Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our high fortress. That is the answer to fear, to know Jehovah of hosts with us. The majesty and glory of God himself. The God who did all those things in the Old Testament. The God who led the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the middle of the Red Sea. The God who spoke to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. The God who was with David in slaying the giants. The God who was with his people throughout all their experience and defeated their enemies for them when they trusted in him. The God who is able for everything. And we were remembering in the young people's group the other day that Jesus said, "Fear not, I have overcome the world." In the world you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. He says at the end of John 16, the end of John chapter 16, Jesus says, "Be of good courage, fear not." In other words, fear not. I have overcome the world. What comfort there is in those words. How much we need to be delivered from fear. Every one of us. What a real thing that is. But the enemy's attack against everyone, especially God's people, but everyone, is to hold them in fear. It says, we will not fear though the earth be removed. And it says, be still. At the end of Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. How do we get to know the majesty of this God so that we can be delivered from fear? How do we know the God, this God who speaks to us here? We know it by turning to our next passage, which I'll turn to in a moment. But just before that, I wanted to look at the beauty of what God promises for those that put their trust in him. The beauty of that place. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. Verse 4. The sanctuary of the habitations of the Most High. God's people will dwell with him throughout eternity. In that beautiful place. And Jehovah of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our high fortress. And one day he will make wars to cease unto the end of the earth. Verse 9. He will make wars to cease. That, dear friends, is the future and prospect that there is for every true believer. What's the cause of wars on the earth? The cause of wars on the earth is the ultimate root cause of sin. The reason for fear is that we are sinners. We're separated from a holy and righteous God, and sin has come into the world and has broken man's relationship with God. It's broken man's communion with God. Man and woman chose to disobey in the Garden of Eden, and as a result, their fellowship, their relationship with the loving God, the loving Creator God, was broken, and fear and guilt came in. Fear and guilt go together, don't they? Trembling soul shall quake and fear. There is coming a time when those that are separated from God will quake and fear. Think of the awfulness of being separated from a holy and separated from God in hell for all eternity. The gospel's preached so that we might be made ready to meet a perfect and holy God. This God who wants us to be still, in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. A God who wants us to have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have peace, through him and him alone, of what he has done at Calvary's cross. So I wanted to focus on the next passage that we read. 1 John chapter 4 verse 15. What is the answer to fear? The answer to fear is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Son of God, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the confession. God abides in him and he in God. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came down from the heights of heaven, came down into this wicked, sinful, fearful world. This world which knows so much corruption, so much wickedness of man's government. We see it all around us. Jesus Christ came into this world to die on the cross for you and me, dear friends. The Son of God, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that, dear friends? Can you say that the Son of God gave himself for you? That's the greatness of the giving that there is tonight in the gospel. So that you might be delivered from fear. For you might be delivered from fear of meeting a holy and righteous God in your sins. And may be cleansed from your sins and made ready to stand in his presence. But so that we might be delivered from fear. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, equal with God. We're reminded recently that Jesus, one of the things that Jesus said was, before Abraham was, I am. We've been teaching the children in the Sunday school about the burning bush and the God who spoke to them, spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. And he said, I am that I am. What a statement of majesty. Jesus, as the Son of God, said, before Abraham was, I am. That makes Jesus equal with God. At the end of John's Gospel, after Jesus had risen from the dead, the followers of Jesus had gathered in an upper room through fear of the Jews. The doors were shut through fear of the Jews. And Jesus came into their midst and says, peace be to you. His presence cast out fear. His presence gave them peace. What a wonderful blessing that is, to know that peace and to have fear cast out in his presence. He is the Saviour. He is our rightful King. He is the answer to our fears. It says, God is love, and he that abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Herein has love been perfected in us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, verse 17. There is a day of judgment coming, dear friends. That's why we have the gospel preaching here every week. That's why the gospel is urgent all the time. The gospel becomes more and more urgent. How many signs there are that point us towards the coming day of judgment. The heading up of evil in the world. The evil that works beneath the surface. The corruption of man's governments. Very, very evidently on display. The heading up of evil in the beast and the Antichrist. The end of days is very much upon us. And the day of judgment is coming. The day of judgment where everyone will stand before a holy and righteous God. But the believer can have boldness in the day of judgment. That means we can have assurance that our sins are forgiven. Love has been perfected in us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, even as he is, we also are in this world. We have been cleansed from our sins if we put our faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus has done at Calvary's cross. And we can have assurance that we are in Christ. And if we are in Christ, we have boldness in the day of judgment. And then I wanted to highlight verse 18. What a beautiful verse this is. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. I think that's specifically speaking about God's love. The love that is described a bit earlier, because it says God is love. That's the part of the very nature of who God is, what God is. He is love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. That's speaking of God's perfect love. What a wonderful news that is. There is no greater news, dear friends, no better news than to have perfect love. There's no better news than to know the perfect love of God, shown and fully shown in the life and death of the Lord Jesus. Life and death and resurrection. When someone gets baptized, it is a picture of the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful symbol that is. That's the very foundation of the Christian faith. The death and burial and resurrection, rising again of the Lord Jesus. What a beautiful picture. And here tonight, dear friends, we have perfect love. Perfect love has been shown in Jesus. If you read the Gospels, you see a life of perfect love. Perfect love. You see a life of serving others, but a life given up in death. Given up in death so that he might die the death that we deserved. A life given up in death so that there might be forgiveness to you and me. Jesus embodies perfect love. The preacher can only point you to Jesus. Point you to the words of the scriptures which glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect love casts out fear. When the disciples had Jesus with them, everything was under control. When they looked out towards their circumstances, they had fear. Peter was able to walk on the water towards Jesus when he kept his eye on Jesus. When he turned round and started looking at the conditions around him, he had fear and started to sink. When he kept his eye on the Lord Jesus, he was delivered from fear. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has torment, and he that fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he has first loved us. He loved you, dear friends, before you loved him. That's the same for each one of us. He loved us, and he has loved us with an everlasting love. Do you have that love, dear friends, that casts out fear? Do you have the answer to the fear that there is around? There is coming a day when Jesus will make wars to cease unto the end of the earth. I think that would speak about the coming reign of the Lord Jesus. We've been thinking about future events with the young people. They're very soon to start taking place. Everything is getting ready for those things to happen. The rapture, God's people being called up to heaven, is very soon. How wonderful to be ready when that call comes from above. To have that perfect love and to have it cast out fear. We love because he has first loved us. The gospel is preached so that you might repent before a holy and perfect and righteous God and put your full faith and trust in what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross. Because he has won the victory. The victory is mentioned in the next chapter. I haven't got time to read it now, but it says, who is he that gets the victory over the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I really recommend reading all of this epistle, what the first epistle of John and the second. Very, very relevant for today. But I wanted to just focus on the answer to fear, the how wonderful it is that we can know that perfect love which casts out fear. And as a result, we can know the victory. We have victory over the world because of what he has done. Nothing to do with our strength or power. But it's, according to this verse, it's he who gets victory over the world is he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That is the key to victory over the world. What a beautiful truth that is. The wonder about John's writings, the beautiful thing about John's writings is that it's so black and white, clear to understand. Very, very clear. The Gospels preach so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, dear friends, and that he died on Calvary's cross for you and for me. That he died on Calvary's cross for you so that you might be washed clean and fully ready to meet a holy God when he comes and when Jesus calls his own. May we have an assurance of that. May we have perfect love. May we know that in our daily walk with him, for his name's sake.